has a lot of Hayrashah. They're traveling in the Midbar taking census. The very last pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, which sounds very much like a Hayrashah, when they were about to travel, and so it says, the Kohanim had to come and cover over all the klisharis, and the Levim, who usually carry all the klisharis, lo yivol liris givalas hakodesh v'mesu, there's a punishment, amisa b'dei shamayim, if they look at the kladigdosh, when they're being covered over by the Kohanim. It sounds very much like a Hayrashah, and that's the explanation that the Moni HaMitzvah give, the Meforshim and the Sefer HaMitzvahs give, why the Moni HaMitzvah didn't include this in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, because the Rambam explains that you only include something which is a Din L'Doros. So the later Achreinim ask that from the Gemara Numa would appear that it is a Din L'Doros. It's not merely Hayrashah, because the Gemara tells the story that one of the tiles on the floor was a little crooked, so one of the Kohanim realized that there must be a trap door over there. So he picked it up, and he saw the stairs going down. He went down to the basement, and lo and behold, that's where they had hidden the Orim with the Kruvim. The Gemara has Machloikis Hatanoim and Yuma around the afternoon base. Where was the Orim with the Kruvim during the whole period of the second Bais HaMikdash? The last few years of the Bais Rishon, we know, it says in the Rayom, Yoshiyahu HaMelech instructed that they should be going as the Orim with the Luchas in the basement. Where were they during the whole period of the Bais Sheni? So the Rambam assumes, like this Tana, that they were under the ground, the same location where they were at the end of the Bais Rishon period. That when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Bais HaMikdash, he did it based on the layout that was given to him by his father David HaMelech, who was given a Megillah B'Ksav by a Novi, and he was told Hakol B'Ksav B'Yad Hashem Alai Haskel. Everything has to be constructed exactly so. So there was the Kodesh HaKodashim upstairs. That's the preferable place for the Orim with the Luchas. And then there was a special chamber in the basement to put the Luchas when the time comes and they feel that they don't want to leave it upstairs for whatever reason. So that's why they put it downstairs during the end, the last few years of the Bais Rishon. So then the Rambam assumes that's where it was the whole period of the Bais Sheni. The Gemara says that this incident, this story, is recorded by that Tanner who claims that that's where it was, that this Kohen who saw the trap door, he went down the stairs and he looked at the Orim with the Luchas and he died. He was punished with Misa B'dei Shemayim. So you see, it's not merely a din, it's not merely a Hayrashah that applied while they were traveling in the Midbar from location to location. It's really a din adar, so that's why it's Takakasha. How come the Rambam and all the other Moni HaMitzvah didn't include this pasuk? Lo yivol liris givalas hakodesh v'mesim. The Gemara there in Yuma is bothered with Akasha. How can it be that it's really a din l'doros if there's a tradition that during the Bais Rishon period when the Orim and the Kruhim were inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim where they really belong, so they used to roll up the Pareiches and Sholei L'Regolim, the Kruhim hugging each other, Kima'ar Ish V'Liv Yosai, like a husband hugs his wife, to demonstrate the Ava and the Chiba that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Bnei Yisrael. Just parenthetically, where in the world did they get such a wild idea that they should roll up the pareches? The Gemara explained, how can they roll up the pareches? The pareches in Bais Rishon was an amah thick and it was bricks. How can you roll up bricks? The Gemara says, no, the pareches was an amah thick bricks, but then there were windows in the pareches where they had curtains. So they rolled up the curtains that enabled the Ohel Regalim to look at the Kruvim hugging each other. Then the question begs itself, where did they get this idea that they should roll up the pareches and show the people the Kruvim? Also, the Gemara says the last daf in Chagiga, last Amud Beis in Chagiga, that they used to pick up the Shulchan, lean the Shulchan, tilt the Shulchan, and show the people all the lechem upon him, show how fresh it was. Even though it was baked on Friday and it was sitting there a whole week, it was lechem cham ki yom hilokchoi. It was warm, like when they had taken it out from the oven. So where'd they get that idea from, that they should pick up the Shulchan and like a woman squeezing potatoes in the vegetable store? Were they squeezing the lechem upon to show everybody how fresh it is, a woman is how fresh it is? Where'd they get this idea? So Reb Shlomo Levilner wrote in a letter to the author of the Stechemed. The Stechemed was an encyclopedia that was written by a Svardish Talmud Chacham, Abchaim Cheski Medini. He was born in Chevron, I think, and he knew the Svardish Menhagim. And then he got a Rabbanus in Russia, deep into Russia, and he didn't know what was going on over there. They told him this is the minig, and that's the minig. He thought they were pulling his leg. So he corresponded with many different rabbanim, tried to ascertain whether these are really menhagim that they have. And then in his correspondence, he wrote the other Divrei Torah also to these gedolim. Then he had so much written that he put together all in encyclopedia. That's a little bit alphabetically arranged, not 100%. Everything that starts with Aleph comes first. Everything that starts with Beis comes second. Anyway, so Rav Shlomo Levilner wrote in, that's what he lived in, the end of the 1800s, early 1900s. So Rav Shlomo Levilner wrote that he thinks that it's based on the Pasuk, the drosha that the Gemara has on the first daf in Chagiga. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Dalet, there's a whole discussion, but Yeshem La Mikra, Yeshem La Masoris. Every so often we have a contradiction between a Kri and a Ksiv. And the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim. When you have a contradiction, how should you pass on Halacha? Should you pass on like the Ksiv? You should pass on like the Kri. So Tosfos points out on that Daf, a whole Daf on Daf Dalet and Sanhedrin, and Aleph on Beis, a lot of psukim about Yeshem La Mikra, Yeshem La Masoris. Tosfos points out, whenever it's possible to develop a drosha that combines both the Kri and the Ksiv together, so all the Tanaim agree that's the way to go. That's what you should do. So here also, the Gemara considers this Shalosh Pamashan Yeroeh Kol Zuchurcha. Yeroeh and Yeroeh are spelled the same. So that's a question, why the Gemara considers this an issue of Yeshem La Mikra, Yeshem La Masoris. We do have a Ksiv that differs from the Kri. The Kri is Yeroeh. The Ksiv is also a Yeireh. So somehow the Gemara treats it like a Kri and a Ksiv. And the Gemara says, the Tana, who darshans Yeireh Yeireh, kedech shebo leiraos, kach bo leiraos, just as B'nai Yisrael come to appear before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeireh Ekol Zchurcha, so to become leiraos, we come to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he darshans the Kri and the Ksiv together, Yeireh Yeireh, kedech shebo leiraos, kach bo leiraos. So we paskin like that. That's a wonderful drasha where you combine the Kri and the Ksiv. So the Rav Shlomo Levilner says, what do you mean? We come just like, the Gemara says, what does it mean? Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us with both of his eyes, so too he wants us to look at him with both of our eyes. So the Tana establishes a din that Asuma Beino Achas is Potem and Ariyah. Machloika Satanoim. Asuma is Potem and Ariyah because he can't see anything. But what about Asuma Beino Achas? Is he also Potem and Ariyah? So the question is, what are you going to see? The Baruch Hashem doesn't have any body. He can see us. How can we see him? So that's what Rav Shlomo Levilner understood. There must be the Tanoim, the Chachamim during the period of the Bais Rishon, must have understood that we have to show something in the Beis HaMikdash that there's a Hashoas HaShchinah here. That's how we demonstrate that the Shechinah is here. They can't see the Shechinah, but they can watch the demonstration. So he used to roll up to Pareches in the windows of the Amma wall, Amma thick wall, and show the Kruvim hugging each other. One of the Kruvim represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the Ribbono Shel Olam, the person represents him. And he used to show the Nisim. They used to tilt over the shulchan and show the lechem upon him that it was still fresh. So that's how they had fulfilled the mitzvah of Yira Yira Kedosh Sheboli Roz. So the Gemara asked this kasha: how can you say that the kohen who went down the staircase and went to the basement died? It's misa b'day shemaim v'yiro liris kavalas hakodesh v'meisu. It's a din ledoyros. But we know during the Bais Rishon period, they used to roll up the Paroiches and everyone would look at the Kruvim. That was part of the mitzvah Riyas Panim. We should go to the Beis HaMikdash and see that there is a Hashuas HaShchinah here. So how come nobody died? How come there was no punishment of Vomesu? So the Gemara answers that it depends. If the Kruvim are Bimkaimam, then it's mutter to look. When the Kruvim are Shalei Bimkaimam, then it's awesome. During the whole Pais Rishon period, when the Kruvim were Bimkaimam in their more correct location, on the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then it's mutter to look. When they're traveling in the Midbar, and everything, the whole Mishkan is taken down, and they're about to put the Klei HaMikdosh in the Begodim, in the cloth Begodim, then Shelo Bimkaimam. Or when the Oren is in the basement, then Shelo Bimkaimam. So whenever Shelo Bimkaimam, you're not allowed to look. Why a difference between Mimkomam and Shalobim Komam? So the Gemara says, Moshe Lamad Avadayma, like the relationship between a husband and a wife during Erisin and during the Suin. That during Erisin, the girl lives at home. She's not living with the husband. And after Nisuin, then she's an Eshesish Bebe Sabbal. So then they can stare each other in the eyes all they want. But when they're engaged, or before they're engaged, and when they're engaged, or even if they're married, but they only have heirs and don't have nisuin, they're not supposed to be staring at each other all the time. They're not supposed to be with each other. So the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael is compared in Tanakh many times to that of a husband and a wife in marriage. That's in Haftorah, ends off a Rastach Leilion, Rastach Leilion, Rastach Mishpat, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu married the Jewish people. So when the Aaron and this relationship switches back and forth, sometimes Erison, sometimes Nisun, sometimes goes back to the state of Erison. So when is that? Whenever the Aaron is Bimkoma, then it's a full Nisun. Whenever the Aaron is Shalom Bimkoma, then it's like Erison. So when it's like Erison, you're not supposed to stare at the Kruvim. You're not supposed to stare, the Kala is not supposed to stare at the Chosim. But whenever the Aaron is Bimkoma, then it's like Nisun, the Adarab, so they can stare at each other. That's wonderful. The Haftarah also has the Haftarah Parshas. Bamidbar has the Pasuk. This is talking about the Gulu Hasid, Lo Hasid Lava, and when Mashiach will come. So the Pasuk says that the Jewish people, V'hoya B'yomahu, Nir Mashem Tikri Ishi, V'lo Tikri Li Od Bali. We will no longer refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our husband, we refer to him as our husband. What's the difference between Ishi and Bali? So the Mishnah Melech and the Parashas Drachma suggests maybe that's the difference. Maybe we'll no longer call him Bali, maybe Bali has the connotation of Erison. Maybe Ishi has the meaning of Nisuin. So that's the suggestion of the Parashas Racham. Maybe that's based on this comment that the Gemara made on this concluding pasuk. There's a difference between Arusa and Nisua. So Lasi Lava, the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hashlishi will be built, and the Orim of the Kruvim will be again Bimkomo, will be where it belongs, Bimkomo. So then we will refer to Rabbanu Shalom as Ishi, means a full Ishus, a full like of Nisuin, not Bali, which has the connotation of Eris. That's the suggestion of the Mishnah Lamelech. Yeah, we have, what is the idea over here? Lo Yivali Yiviskevala Sakodesh Vamesu, to keep your distance from the Klei HaMikdash. Not supposed to be so close. So keeping distance is sometimes a simon of respect. Yerushalmi is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Kvod Talmid Chachamim that it's not derech eretz to greet a Rebbe. Hi Rebbe, how are you today? Shalom Aleichem. You should wait till the Rebbe greets you and then you answer. Aleichem Shalom. Yerushalmi says this based on a pasuk in Iov, that Iov was such a respected individual. It says, Ru'uni na'orim v'nechbo, when I would walk in the street, so the young boys would be so filled with awe, they would hide, they would be embarrassed to give me shalom. In Yiddish, there's such a, by chassidim, there's such an expression, go to the Rebbe to visit. So they don't say they go to the Rebbe to give him shalom, they go to the Rebbe, nemen shalom, to take shalom from the Rebbe. The Rebbe greets them first, and then they respond, Aleichem shalom. Now Soloveitchik pointed out that kol de tikkun rabbanan kein de raisa tikkun, that all the dinim de rabbanan are patterned after dinim de raisa, they have some kind of a kiyum or another de raisa. So he said there is a din, pashtus, that it's a din de rabbanan. Also lecha sefer Torah orim, now that it touches sefer Torah with your bare hands. Whenever there's something that has to be moved, so you put a talus in order not to touch the Sefer Torah directly. So he said that's also based on this idea, not to be so close with the Dvarim HaMekudoshim, to keep a little bit of a distance out of respect. And then the Rambam says that the reason why they were Goyza Tuma, one who touches Kisvei HaKodesh, is Matamis Hayadayim. So the Rambam says that to serve as a deterrent, that people should keep their distance, that they shouldn't, you shouldn't touch the Sefer Torah Orim. So they said, whoever does that is Mentayim Seidayim, which the people didn't want to happen. So they would be careful not to touch the Sefer Torah with their bare hands. The Mincha Saluza, the Minkacha, has a tshuva where he points out that in Yeridei, they quote from the Gemara in the first perek in Avodah Zarah. Gemara says, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, that a person should be misrachek mi beis zoynos, pesach beis zoynos dalamis. Shouldn't walk right next to the pesach beis zoynos because he may decide to pop in and a person shouldn't walk toch dalaramas of the base of a zar, of a church. I remember I was once walking in the Yirat Dika with Rabbeinu Schwinkel. This was a maisa over 45 years ago. So he would, they have a lot of churches there, sometimes on the right side of the pier, sometimes on the left side. So he would go crisscross. He wouldn't walk on one side of the street because there's going to be a church over there. Then he would walk a little to the right and a little to the left. It was always makpid to be marchik dalaramas away from the Pesach Beis Avodah Zarah. So the Minchas Aluza has a tshuva where he writes that he woke up a block. I walk up 184th Street from my home to the yeshiva. So there's a big church there on top of the hill. So he says it's not proper to walk on the street, and then when you're coming close to the church and you cross the street, you should cross the street in the beginning of the block, because sometimes walking away is also a sign of respect. You're showing respect to the church by keeping a distance. He says if you know there's a church at the end of the block and you don't want to be toch dalaram, so you should walk to the other side of the street before you get so close to the church. It shouldn't be so nicker that you're keeping a distance from the church. Parshas Nasa also starts off with Hayru Asho, but then he finally comes into some dinim that are Noig L'Doris. The first din you have Noig L'Doris about the census. Then the first din you have about Noig L'Doris is about Shiluch Tmei Men Amachna. That's why the opening piece in the Sifrei Zuta is the Sifrei Zmi Beis Medrosh Shal Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says Tam Sifro was Rabbi Yudas, Tam Sifrei is Rabbi Shimon, Sam Tosefta is Reb Nechemia, Sam Mishnah is Reb Nechemia, Kula Aliba the Reb Akiva, the Rota Amida of Reb Akiva, and everything is from the teachings of Reb Akiva. And then there's another Sifrei written with a different signon, totally different style Hebrew, it's more Aramaic. Rashi refers to every so often as a Sifrei Panim Acherim, in a different language, and the Rashi and Mishnayis quotes it sometimes. We call it today Sifrei Zuta. So it's just on Bamidbar. We don't have on Dram, just have on Bamidbar, I think. And the opening, and it's Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. It's not Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, it's Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. So the opening section in the Sifrei Zuta begins with the Parshas Nosoi, and Shiluch Tmei Min Amachne, and it lists off the Esek Kedushas. The Mishnah in the first parak in Kelim, Mishnah Vav, I think, Mishnah Hey, Mishnah Vav, starts off Esek Kedushas saying the 10 levels of Kedusha. So that's how the Sifrei Zuta begins, Esek Kedushas saying. But it starts, but the way it's presented in Sifrei Zuta is with slight changes, not exactly word for word the same as it appears in the Mishnayos. And the one who printed the Sifrei Zuta in the early 1920s, I think, was a friend of Rabbi Menachem Zemba in Poland. They were Gedoyle Oilam, they were Geoinim. They knew all of Shas, Yerushalmi, Bavli, everything. They knew all the Rambams, all the Or Samech, they knew everything. So there were several of these Geoinim who were businessmen. So Rabbi Menachem Zemba was a businessman, and the one who put out the Sifrei Zuta, Yoskevich, was a businessman also. They had their own clique. So this fellow Yoskevich corresponded with Rabbi Menachem Zemba. He sent him the galleys of the Sefer that he's going to put out. He has footnotes on the bottom of the page. It's called Ambua de Sifrei. And his footnotes, he gives the cross references to Arsameachs and Toseftas and everything under the sun. All the Rishonim, all the Achronim that they had available to them. It's unbelievable. So yes, Rabbi Menachem Zemba, would he like to write some comments on the Sifrei Zuta before he goes to print? So he sent him 100-page comments. The Heoris on the Esek Kedushas, why there are Shinuim. They explain the slight Shinuim between the way it appears in the Mishnayos and the way it appears in the Sifrei Zuta. That's called Oitzah HaSifrei. Oitzah HaSifrei. He also has, Rabbi Menachem Zemba also has Oitzah HaSifrei. There's something else. The Fro begins with the Brisa, Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, B'yud Gimel Min HaTzartor Nidreshes Mem. So Rabbi Menachem Zemba was asked by Rabbi Mendel Kasher, was the editor of a Torah journal, and he was asked if he could participate. They had Talmid HaChacham from all over the world. I used to write for this Torah journal, so he asked if he could participate to send them something. So he sent them a few times. He sent in, and it was printed in installments, comments on the Brisa Rabbi Shmuel of the Yud Gimel Min HaTzartor Nidreshes Mem. That's called Oitzah HaSifro. The Oitzah HaSifrei is all on the Esek Kedushas. People today who print things on Kedushas Yerushalayim and so on, everything has to be based on what Rabbi Menachem Zembe said. He covered everything. So he has among the various ha'aris that he has, they're all Ga'inish. So among the various ha'aris he has, he writes about, it says in the Brisa begins, Esa Kedusha Sein Eretzot Mekudashis Mekol Ha'aratza Shem Yivim Eno Ha'im Reshte Alechem. Then it says, Ha'yaris Ha'mekov Schov Mersi Yishuv Binun have more Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Shem Yishtachem Ha'em the Mitzrayim. A person who's a Mitzrayim is not allowed to be in the Ayoras HaMakof HaSchaim. So that's a Machlekes or Rishonim. Does he get Malkas or not? If a Tomei enters, a Tumah Shayotza LeMegufa enters Harabais, he gets Malkas. If any Tomei enters Azor, he gets Malkas. There's V'lo Yavoyu Al Teich HaMachane. It's a Loises. What's the din if a Mitzrayim enters Ayoras HaMakof HaSchaim? It's called Machne. The Azor is called Machne Shechina. The Harabais is called Machne Leviya. And then Yerushalayim is called Machne Yisrael. It's called a Machne. And the Pasuk uses that term. The word Machne appears three times, and there are three different names. So we assume there are three different Machnes. There's Machne Shechina, corresponds to the Azor. Then there's Machne Leviya, that's Harabais. And you have Machne Yisrael. So there's a Lav. There's an essay in a Lav. The Yishalcha min HaMachne is an essay. And a Lav, lo yovel toch HaMachne, a Lav. Leitam is Machne. So what's the din? So Mitzvah is not allowed to enter Ayaras HaMakov HaSchaim, that's what it says in the Mishnah. Does he get Malkas or not? Are the Ayaras HaMakov HaSchaim really considered Machne Yisrael? Does it have the same level of Kedusha as Yerushalayim or not the same? So that's a Machlokes. The Minchas Chinuch talks about that Machlokes. He quoted the Vilna Gaon and the Rush. The Mishnayos Rishonim have this Machlokes. So the Mabit and the Kiryas Sefer, Mabit was together with the Beis Yosef and the Bez and Tzfat. They disagreed a lot with each other on different issues, but he was a contemporary of his. Needless to say, he was a Sephardish Gadol. There were no Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So he was a Sephardi, one of the Gedolim of the Sephardim. So the Mabit writes, he wrote a commentary on the Ram, that's called Kiryas Sefer. At the same time, the Beis Yosef wrote the Kesem Mishnah, he wrote the Kiryas Sefer. So the Kesem Mishnah became more popular because he gives him Ar Mekaymus, a Mishnah, a Tosefta, a Gemara, a Yerushalmi. Shuvas Agayim, the Kiryas Sefer isn't as strong and Mar Mekaymus as the Kesem Mishnah is. So the Kiryas Sefer always writes something original. Years ago, it was a practice. A fellow was learning in a kollel, had to say a chabura. Just take out a Kiryas Sefer, and you find something original, find something strange that you have to work on, and you'll be able to come up with some chiddush. So here he comes up with a wild chiddush. He says that all Ayaras HaMakov HaSchaim have the same status as Yerushalayim. So how come you're not allowed to eat Kachim Kalim and Ayaras HaMakov HaSchaim if it has exactly the same status as Yerushalayim? So he says because the Shechita has to take place in the Azara. So once you Shechta in the Azara, then you're going to take it out of the Azara, it'll be Nifsel B'Yotzei. So if you bring it back to Yerushalayim, it's not going to help. So if you're going to bring it back to one of the other Ayaras HaMakov HaSchaim, also not going to help. It'll already be Nifsel B'Yotzei. Fine. Then he asked, if that's the whole reason why, so then my Sushani is not Nifsal B'Yotzei. So, true, my Sushani needs Havuas Mokaim. The Gemara says in Makkos that there are three things that need Havuas Mokaim. One is my Sushani Nat Revai, and one is Bikurim, and one is Bukhar Behem Tor. All Karbonis, they have a Chayvas Tipul, a Mitzvah Lahaviyam, Latapul Behem Lahaviyam, the Beis HaMikdash LaHakrovit, but that's not Havuas Mokaim. Havuas Mokaim means when you bring it to Yerushalayim, it's Mashlem the Kedusha. Before you brought it to Yerushalayim, the Kedusha is incomplete. When you bring it to Yerushalayim, the Kedusha is complete. By Karbanis, if I'm Magdash a Karban here in New York, it has the full Kedusha, even before you bring it to Yerushalayim. Bringing it to Yerushalayim, the Havuas HaMokaim is not Mashlem the Kedusha. The three things that require Havuas Mokaim are Bikurim and B'chor Behem HaTorah, Karban, and Ma'aseh Sheni Neter Avai. If you have a firstborn Bechor born here in America, so then the din is that you're not supposed to do Havuas Mokaim from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. What if B'di'evit you went ahead and you did do Havuas Mokaim? So that's a Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether B'di'evit in both Mimim Yikarvu or both Mimim Lo Yikarvu. We pask in Lo Yikarvu. So in the last Mishnah in Chala, Mishnah is Chala, that there was someone who brought Hela Bechor mi Bovel, he brought a Bechor Behemotar from Bovel, and they told him, go back home, we can't be makrivit, because we pass like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shimon. The Rashi on the Mishnah is there, quotes that from the Gemara in the end of Temura. So those are the things that need Havuas Mokaim. So the Ma'aseh Sheni doesn't complete its Kedusha till you bring it into Yerushalayim. The Gemara comments that there's a law in Parsha Israel. One who eats Maisa Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim gets Malkus. It's a Mishnah Makus and Perikei Lehein Haloikin. Anyone who eats Maisa Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim is in violation of that law. So the Gemara said that's only if it was brought into Yerushalayim and removed. But if you never brought it into Yerushalayim yet, then it's Chulin. It's not Chulin, but it doesn't have the full, complete Kedusha. Kedusha is completed if and when you bring it into Yerushalayim. The Gemara has a brisa that calls it chulin. Taisa simsachim like that on daf lamed ches amud aleph, that the kedusha is incomplete till you bring it into Yerushalayim. So the Kiryas Sefer asks if what I said is correct. That really all ayaras hamikafas chayma have the same status as Yerushalayim machne Yisrael, and theoretically you should really be able to eat Kachim Kalim and all Ayoras Hamakav Scham. The only reason why you can't, because you have to shecht it in Yazor, then you're going to take it out, it'll be Nifsal B'Yotzei. So just like it's not going to help to bring it back into Yerushalayim, because it was ready Nifsal B'Yotzei, so you can't bring it into Ayoras Hamakav Scham. So what's with Maaseh Sheni? There is no psul of Yotzei and Maaseh Sheni. Why can't you either bring the Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim and then bring it to Ayoras Hamakav Scham? And maybe if they have the same din as Yerushalayim, maybe that's the Avos Hamakim. When you bring it to Ayoras Hamakav Scham, maybe you don't even have to bring it to Yerushalayim. So he says, no, you don't understand. The mokum for Achilas Maaseh Sheni is not identical with the mokum for Achilas Kachim Kalim. For Maaseh Sheni, you need a higher level of Kedusha. For Achilas Kachim Kalim, it has to be Machne Yisrael. So all Ayaras Hamakav Eschaim are okay. But for Maaseh Sheni, the whole purpose of Achilas, Taisus in the first Perkantinus quotes such a comment made by the Sifrei. V'chalto sham lefnei Hashem lakecho. And the Pasuk says that by eating Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim, you will be, the Sifrei interprets the Pesukim. You'll see the Kohanim walking around, you see Tzadikim, you see Akrovas Akrobonis, and you will be enthused and brought to a level of Yerushalayim. So that's for the purpose of Achilas Maaseh Sheni. So you need Dafke Yerushalayim Samach LeBeis HaMikdash. The other Ayaras HaMikav Chaima, that's not enough. For the purpose of Achilas Kachim Kalim, that's okay. But Maaseh Sheni, to eat Maaseh Sheni, need a higher level of Kedusha. That's a little counterintuitive, if someone would have asked us, that if anybody thinks that the eating of Maaseh Sheni, Kachim Kalim, in Yerushalayim is not identical, which is Mochomer, so the Pashtus says we would have said the reverse. If anything, if you're going to distinguish, we would have said the reverse. We would have said Achilas Kachim Kalim, Karbonis, that's Mochomer, Kachim Kachim, have to be eaten in Yazorah. Kachim Kalim can be eaten in all of Yerushalayim, but closer to the Azor. Maybe Maaseh Sheni can be eaten in any Ariyaris HaMakav Scham. If anything, should be the reverse. That's what the Ritva writes, the reverse from the Kiryas Sefer. The Ritva is bothered with Tosis Kasha in Makkas, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks, in Makkas, there's a tree that's right on the border of Yerushalayim. Half of the branches are in Yerushalayim, half of the branches are outside of Yerushalayim. And people are sitting on the branches and they're eating their sandwiches. Are you allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni on the branches of the tree? So the Gemara says, those branches of the tree that are Toich HaChom, you can eat Maaseh Sheni. Those branches that are Chutz Lacham, you cannot eat Maaseh Sheni. So Tosis is bothered with the Kasha, but there's a Gemara Psochim, Daf Pehem Abeis, the last line, where the Gemara says, Gagam Agalios Lenis Kasha, that you can't eat Korban Pesach. The Gemara Psochim is talking about Korban Pesach. You can't eat the Korban Pesach on the rooftops or on the second floor, upper floors of a building. You have to eat a dafka on the ground floor because the Gagam Aliyas, the upper floors, don't have a Kedusha Yerushalayim. So how can the Gemara here in Makkas talk about eating Maaseh Sheni on top of the branches of a tree if you have to sit on the ground level in order to be considered eating in Yerushalayim? That's Tosis Kasha. Tosis is assuming that the Mokam Achilas Maaseh Sheni is identical with the Mokam Achilas Kachim Kam. Whenever you can eat one, you can eat the other. So Tosis gives two answers there. So the first answer they give is, a Gagalios is a ground level on top of another ground level. On the ground level, you can eat Maaseh Sheni and Kachim Kalim. If you have a Gag, or you have an Aliyah, second floor, third floor. So each floor has Dalet Tvachim on Dalet Tvachim. Dalet Tvachim is a sheer Mokam. Dalet Amas on Dalet Amas is a sheer Mokam Dira. When you need a Mokam Dira, where do you have a din? you look on Dav Gimel in Sukkah, Dav Gimel Amaral, going over Talmud Beis, the Gemara lists off a brisa, all the dinim, the rice, and the rabbanim that depend on a makam dalan amas adal amas for mezuzah purposes, has to have dalan amas adal amas. And also mosa ibur bin shtei ayoras, only chayv and makkah. All the dinim, mezuzah, all the dinim, the rice, all the dinim, the rabbanim that depend on. Weisha shabana bais v'loch anocha yelach v'yoshu lebeisa. Bana bais is potter from the drift. The bais has to be dalam. That's if you're talking about a makam dira. Because Makam Dira is too narrow if it's less than Dalamas. But a Mokam in the first paragraph of Masech HaShabbos, a Mokam for Akira Va'anoche, has to be, for Rishon Sayochet purposes, has to be Dalat Tvachim al Dalat Tvachim. That's the first answer that Taisa gives. A Makas Taf Yud Beis Amin Aleph. There's only one Taisus. A Makas Taf Yud Beis Amin Aleph. The guy sitting on the branches of the tree eating the Maisa Sheni can eat the Kochim Kalim also on the branches of the tree. Gagamal Islan Eskach only applies if there's a new ground level on top of a lower ground level. So then it's called Gagamal Islan Eskach. There's a discussion, what about now? We know in 1967, I think, when they got to the Kaisel, so it turns out that there's so much debris. Every 100 years, there's so much debris. There's almost 2,000 years. So where was the ground level Bizman Bayesheni? So they dug and they dug, and they'll show you where it is. I never went, but they'll show you where it is. Where was the ground level? So now it's a totally different ground level, many feet above where the ground level used to be. So that's a discussion. Do you say that that's called, let's say, you're allowed to walk on the other side of the Kaisel HaMaravi because Gagmar Lizlan is got you? Because it's a different ground level. It's many feet above where the ground level used to be. But he say, no, it's only called Gagamalias if you have empty space in between. Like the fifth floor, the sixth floor, the fourth floor. Every floor, there's a floor. There's a ground level, then there's space. Then there's another ground level, then there's space. But if you just have debris, so this is the ground level, wherever it is now. By Kaisel HaMaravi, that is the ground level. So on the other side, that is the ground level. That's what's usually assumed. There used to be a rabbi here. He used to be a Talmud Chacham who came from Slutsk. He called himself the Rivaz. So he was in America for a while. He apparently was a difficult person to get along with, so the Balabatim gave him a hard time. So he went there at Yisrael, and then he gave a hard time to Rav Kook. They were friends and learning, but they used to disagree. So he wrote the commentary on the Yerushalmi, Chidushim from the Rivaz on the bottom of the page of the Yerushalmi. And he published Shalas HaTshuvas. So his son-in-law and their family keep on reprinting every so often the Shalas HaTshuvas. And one of his Tshuvas for him, he writes about this. He writes that all the debris, and now what are you going to say on the Mokam Harabais? Every Tommy is allowed to go because Gag Mali is on his country. So he doesn't think that that's correct. He says, based on that Tesis in Makkah's Daf Yabes, thinks it's only called an Aliyah Gag if there's a new ground level above another ground level and there's Aver in between. But if you have just debris, you have no Aver in between, it's not considered a new ground level. That is the ground level. Whatever it is now, wherever it is now, that is the ground level. So again, so Taisus was bothered with the kasha, how can you eat Maaseh Sheni on the branches of the tree if Gagam Aliyah is Lanis Kasha? Taisus says, no, Gagam Aliyah means the Kedusha goes as high as you want unless you have a new ground level. And the branches of the tree do not have dalat al dalat tvachim. Branch of a tree, how thick is it? 3 inches thick. How thick can a branch of a tree be? And the branches are not next to each other and such. It does make a new ground level of dalat tvachim al dalat tvachim. So Tosis says you can eat Maaseh Sheni there, and you can eat Kochim Kalim there also. Then Tosis gives Inami another answer that Avir Yerushalayim is Kirushalayim Dami. What do you mean? But what happened to the Gemara? But they start off by quoting the Gemara Pesachim that Gag Mali is Lanis Kachu. So now they're just denying that it's so. So on the side of the page, Rabbi Kivega tells you, look in the Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech says that from Tosfos it would appear that they think that the din of Gag Mali is Lanis Kachu doesn't apply to all Kachim Kam, only applies to Korban Pesach. Special din in Mokim Achilas Korban Pesach. And you can eat all the Gag Mali is good for eating Maaseh Sheni, and it's good for eating. And it's good for eating all the kachim. I'm just the din in Korban Pesach. Is there really a difference in the makam achilas Korban Pesach from the makam of the achila of Shar Kavanas So they point out, yeah, is a din that only applies in the Mokam Achilas Korban Pesach. When you're eating the Korban Pesach inside this house, you're not allowed to take it out from that house. It doesn't apply to other Kachim Kams. You see, the Mokam Achilas Korban Pesach is different from the Mokam Achilas Shah Kachim Kams. And maybe Tosis in the second answer, Inami Yeshlaim, Avi Rishalayim Ki Rishalayim Dami, maybe they're saying that the din of Kagam Aliyas Lenis Kachu only applies to Korban Pesach, doesn't apply to Kachim Kalim. But the assumption both in the kasha and the answer is Taisa assumes that it's equal. The Mokam Achilas Kachim Kalim, Mokam Achilas Maaseh Sheni is the same. The Ritva on that daf and Makas that he based the answer, Taisa kasha, says, like one, if one would want to distinguish between the Mokam Achilas Maaseh Sheni, Mokam Achilas Kachim Kalim, anyone in his right mind would say, if anything, just the reverse from the Kiryas Sefer, what the Ma'abit wrote. So he says that he suggests maybe you're allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni on the 11th floor of your hotel room also. Gag Malis, one is Kachu vis-a-vis Maaseh Sheni. The Gemara in Pesachim only goes on Kachim Kalim. So he suggests, the Ritva suggests that as a teretz for Tosis Kasha, Gag Malis, one is Kachu, perhaps only applies to Korbanos, and it doesn't apply to Maaseh Sheni. Interesting. Right, the Minchas Chinuch points out that the expression Lefnei Hashem means different things in different contexts. B'shochet Tzmen HaBokeh Lefnei Hashem, Yishech the Karbonis Deh Lefnei Hashem means Yazor. And then sometimes Yachal Tosham Lefnei Hashem Alekecha, Meseh Degarnecha B'Tzerecha, B'Tzerecha B'Choresh B'Korcha B'Tzenecha, should eat my Sesheni Kachim Kalim Lefnei Hashem Alekecha means Yerushalayim. And then sometimes B'chatzatzos V'Kol Shefer Hariyu Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow shofar, in the Migdash, we blow chatzaitzus with the shofar. And in a Tainis Sibah, when we blow chatzaitzus in the base of Migdash, they blew both together. Whenever they blew either shofar on Rosh Hashanah, or chatzaitzus on a Tainis Sibah, they would have together both shofar and chatzaitzus to enhance the tefillah. So the Gemara says, where they do it, they did it on Har HaBayis. So there you see that Lefnei Hashem Elokim b'chatzaitzus kol shofar, Lefnei Hashem. There goes on the Har HaBayis. And the Minchas Chinuch just points out the term Lefnei Hashem means Beis HaMikdash, but it has three different levels. Sometimes it means Shochet Es Ben HaBokeh Lefnei Hashem, means in the Azorah. V'chalta Hashem Lefnei Hashem Lekecho goes on Yerushalayim. And B'chatzot says Kol Shofar Hariyo Lefnei Melech Hashem goes on the Har HaBayis or more. So each place, yeah.
That would mean that Maaseh Sheni would have a higher Kedusha because it's Lefnei Hashem. And that you couldn't eat the...
Well, that pasuk puts them both together. The Yahalta Hashem Lefnei Hashem Lekam Ha'asid Degon Chavitzerech V'Tzerecha V'Chores B'Kor Chavitzeinecha Chores B'Kor Chavitzeinecha is Kachim Kalim. So that pasuk puts them both together. He claims the Kiryas Sefer claims you need a higher level of Kedusha for the Mokam Achilas Maaseh Sheni based on more psukim. Okay, more psukim. That like Tosis quotes in the first Perigantinus, that the eating of Maaseh Sheni Yerushalayim is supposed to bring to Yerushalayim, because you see the Kohanim walking around doing the Avodah and so on. So that'll only be in Yerushalayim. That's not going to be in Ayoras Hamakafas Chayma. Yeah, is there any mocker at all for this idea that the Kiryas Sefer came up with? That the Mokim Achilas Maaseh Sheni has to be a higher level than the Mokim Achilas Kachim Kalim. So there is a mocker. From there's a Tosefta that's quoted in Shavuos, Daf Tezayinim and Aleph. The Gemara says that during the period of the Baal Shem Tov, there were two bitsoim, there were two areas in the Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim. One of them was Niskadish, the Bayis Rishon. One of them was Niskadish. They added on locations with Kedushas Yerushalayim. So the location that was added on in Har HaMishchat was, it was in Har HaZeisim. They gave the Kedusha to Yerushalayim. So the one that was added on is Man Bayis Rishon, had a full Kedusha to Yerushalayim. So you can eat Kachim Kalim Maaseh Sheni. The one that was added on Bayis Sheni didn't have any Kedusha to Yerushalayim, because in order to be Mekadosh, that's the whole context of the discussion. In order to be Moisif Al Ho'ir Val Hazar, to add on another area to give it endowed with Kedusha to Yerushalayim, you have to have a melech, and you have to have a Urim Betumim, And they were missing these in the Bayi Sheni period. They didn't have a melech till the days of the Hashmonah, and they didn't have Urim Tumim. So this Tosefta assumes that what they added on wasn't, it was added on for political purposes, added on to Yerushalayim, that the soldiers should defend it better or whatever, but didn't have Kedusha. So they're not allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni Kachem Kalam there. So that's what the Braisa gives the dinim. The one location, the Harabais, did have Kedusha Yerushalayim, the other location did not have. But then the Tosefta records that the Amei Haaretz had their own Shita. They didn't listen to what the Rabbanim said. They decided things on their own. So they decided that one of them only had enough Kedusha to eat Kochim Kalim, but not enough to eat Ma'aseh Sheni. To eat Ma'aseh Sheni, you got to be in the other location. The one that had the real Kedusha to eat Kochim Kalim, that's not so. So Rashi explains the whole pshat in the Amei Haaretz. It's a quotation in the Gemara from the Tosefta. The Rashi says the Amei Haaretz held like that. That the mokim that's needed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni requires a higher level of Kedusha than the mokim that's needed to eat Kochim Kalim. So the Pashta says the whole thing was a joke, though. That's what the Amei Haaretz thought, and it's all wrong. So the Kiryas Sefer assumes that not everything that the Amei Haaretz says is wrong. Once in a while they have in the Kudush Alemes, something that they say is correct. Anyway, so this is what Rabbi Menachem Zemer points at, this three-way Machloikis HaRishonim. And the listing of the Eser Kedushas, that Ayoros HaMakaf HaSchayim have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. The Emetzorayim HaMashtachim HeMenu, so it's a machlok, is whether they're loike. Is it only an Eser Vishalchim in HaMachne, or is there a Taka Loi says, Lo Yobay Al Toich HaMachne, Lo Yitamas Machaneim, is there a Lava HaTaka has the same full level of Kedusha as Yerushalayim? So how come he can't eat Ma'aseh Sheni and Kochim Kalim there? So then he gave his answer, the Kochim Kalim is Nifsil B'yoytze, then he got stuck Ma'aseh Sheni. So he had to come up with a Wap Rav HaChidush that did Ma'aseh Sheni need a higher level of Kedusha. If anything, one would have thought, if there's a distinction, one would have thought like the Ritva, that the distinction should be in the opposite direction, that to eat the Kochim Kalim, you need a higher level of Kedusha. And Tosis assumes that it's exactly the same. Whatever Mokum is good for Ma'aseh Sheni is good for Kochim Kalim.
How do we pass him?
I don't know. I thought most assume that there's no Malkus. So most assume Ayoros HaMakav HaSchayim is not the same level.
So then how come he has to work so hard to...
Yeah, he's assuming that it has the same... He apparently is assuming it has the same level of Kedusha as Yerushalayim. I think most of Rishonim assume that it's not the same. So there's no question in the first place. The Mishnah doesn't mention... It says... Eretz HaMekodesh is Mekol HaRotzes, HaYoros HaMekav HaSchayim HaMekodosh is Mekol Eretz Yisrael, that the Mitzorayim HaMishtalchim. Then it says Yerushalayim has more Kedusha. It doesn't say anything in between HaYoros HaMekav HaSchayim and Yerushalayim. There is a din in the Tosefta in the Goyim, the Rashi HaMishnah quotes it, that all HaYoros and Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than the farm has been geared to Eben HaMenuga. It says when you have a bais hamenuga, so sometimes the Allah just says you take out the Evan hamenuga, v'hotzia mechutz la'ir. And mechutz la'ir, which ear? So I would have said, if you would have asked me, nobody asked me, I would have said, Ayoros HaMekav HaSchayim. Just like a mitzvah is mishtaleh chutz la'yoros HaMekav HaSchayim. So the Evan hamenuga. So I guess wrong. So the Rash quotes at the Sefta, every ear. You have to know what defines an ear. If it's Ayoros HaMekav HaSchayim, you also have to define what's an ear. A guy builds a wall around the house. In Queens, you have a lot of the Russian Olim in Queens. They build walls around the whole property. So there has a din about Ayoros HaMekav HaSchayim, Mos Yishuv Benun. It wasn't there be Mos Yishuv Benun. But let's say anyone who built a wall before Yishuv Benun came, that's called an ear. That's called the Bayis HaMekav HaSchayim. So you have to have a definition of an ear. For the purposes of Tchum Shabbos, you need a definition of an ear. For the purposes of Ayoros, of Ari Miklot, you need a definition. So the Gemara has definitions. An Erechin and an Erevin. An Erevin, the Gemara has definition of an ear for the purposes of Tchum Shabbos. And an Erechin, in order that it should be called Ayoros HaMekav HaSchayim, first it has to be an ear and then you have to have a Mukav Chayim. So what's the definition of an ear? So you got to. So they discuss that. So there's such a thing in the ear, She'ain a Mukav HaSchayim. It's different from a Soda. So the Tosefta says, V'hotzi, so Evan HaMenugal, Michutz Lo'ir, Michutz Lo'ir is all Ayoros in Eretz Yisrael. Have a higher level of Kedusha. Then the Mishnah says also, at the Zman Hatabamah, so it was permissible to make a bama anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. And the first Mechilta says, the first Mechilta is on Parshat Bo, I think. So Mechilta also only talks about Halach L'maisa, just like the Sifrei begins here in Parshas Nosai with Shiloh Tmeim and Amachna. Starts off, the Sifrei Zuta begins with the Esek Dushas, starts off with Halach L'maisa. So the first Mechilta also starts off Halach L'maisa. It says, after the Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, there was no longer a Hetabamas B'chutz L'oretz. Kol Zman Shalo Nichnu Yisrael L'oretz, there was a Hetabamas even a Chutz L'oretz. But once he entered Eretz Yisrael, there was no longer a hetabamis in Chutz La'aretz. So the Mishnah says in the end of Zvachim that when there is a hetabamis, so you can eat kachim kalim b'chol ori Yisrael, in all the cities in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik said that his father made a diuk only b'chol ori Yisrael, only in the cities, not on the farms. That the farms have a lower level of kedusha. But that is true, the farms have a lower level of Kedusha, that's what it says in the Tosefta and the Goyim, than Eben Hamanuga. Eben Hamanuga, sometimes you have to enact on the whole house, and sometimes you only remove that Eben Hamanuga. So when you only take out the Eben Hamanuga, you have to take a Michutz La'ir, so that's only Ayoris, even not Mukav Chamos Yeshua Benun, but you can leave it in Eretz Yisrael. So the Moshe Soloveitchik took that Tosefta, and he applied it to the Heter Bomas, that the Kochim Kalam and Achol and Michol. Ori Yisrael is only the Ayoris, not the farms. An interesting Chiddush. So this is the first element that's Nageh Halacha L'maaseh in Parshas Noseh. After that you have the Parsha of Gezel Hager. When I stole money from somebody, I have to give back the money. What if I swore falsely that I don't owe him the money? And then later on I did that I swore falsely. So then you have to give Kerem V'chaymesh and you have to bring Asham Gezelos. You have to bring Asham Gezelos. So what if the person to whom I owed the money died already? So I give it to the Yorshim. So I have to give Kerem V'chaymesh to the Yorshim. If I swore falsely, then I have to bring Asham Gezelos. What happens? The main Lishkoi L'hashiv Hashem Elo. The man died and he has no Yorshim. So then the Torah says, how is that possible? How is that physical? The man never got married, he never had any children. So he has brothers and sisters, he has cousins, he has distant cousins, he has third cousins, fourth cousins. How is that possible that he doesn't have a relative in the whole wide world? So Gemara says it's referring to a ger, because a ger shemeis vein lo yoshim. A ger didn't have any children, so the ger shemeis got cut in shenala dami. So then, that's why the Gemara calls this parsha, parsha's gezla ger. So then you give the money to the Kohanim. Which Kohanim? The Kohanim all over the world. The Kohanim, the Anshei Mishmar, that week that you will come to Yerushalayim to bring the Asham Gzeiloi, so you should give it to the Kohanim whose Mishmar it is that week. That's their base up, so you give it to them. They have to give the Kerem Chamesh. This is one of the Choftalad Matas Kuna, that you give Gezel Ager to the Anshei Mishmar, who are that week, serving that week in the Beis HaMikdash, and then you can bring the Asham Gzeiloi. The Chasam Sefer has in the Chidushim HaMaseches Avodah Zarah raises the question, how did the Tanoim know this wild din that Gershon is got to cut in Shinola Dami? Then when the Ger converts, he's not related to his parents, brother, sister. You have to have a Mokar and a Chumash for this, that he doesn't Yarshin his father anymore. When he dies, they don't Yarshin him. And if two brothers convert, they're Kosher Leidus together, they're not related anymore. Mikradin, a brother and a sister, can marry each other once they convert. It's only Exerim and the Rabbanu. We don't permit them to marry each other. Where did they come up with this Einfall? So he says, the Pashta says that he got it from this Pashta, mainly Ishgal, Hashu, Hashem, Eilov, that tradition that it goes on Gezla Ger. So that's what the Pashta is saying. So he says he doesn't think that it comes from this Pashta, because maybe mainly Ishgal means we're not aware of any relatives. The fellow was a loner. And we never knew that he was related to a soul in the world. We don't. How do you know that it means Ein Ish Goel Al Pidin? Is a Gersh and his Geir? It just means we don't know who the Yoshim are. So that's why the Chasam Sefer asks, "What's the Mokar?" So Rav Soloveitchik gave a Mokar. Rav Soloveitchik gave a Mokar. The Gemara in Kiddushin has a pasuk that if a Jewish man gives a ring to a non-Jewish girl, he says, "Hariyat Makudeshes Lidi Kedushin and not Tovsin." Or the same, the reverse. If a non-Jewish man gives a ring to a Jewish girl, ein kedushin tofsin between a Jew and a goy. What does mean ein kedushin tofsin? So he thought that what it means is that there's no yachas between a Jew and a non-Jew. And if there's no yachas, kurvo, not only does it mean you can't kedushin a natchal, so the children are not misyaches either. A Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, and they have a baby. And the baby is not Jewish because the status of the child is determined by the mother. So is the father considered a relative of the son? So the halacha says no, because just like Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, there's no yachas, there's no kurva between a husband and a wife, and one is Jewish, one is not. So this kurva also not. How do you know that to equate the two? Maybe the psukim that the Gemara quoted to show the Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, not this way, not that way, a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish girl, a non-Jewish man marries a Jewish girl, maybe it only goes on Kiddushin. How do you know it goes on Yachas of Kurva, on relatives as well? So he showed from the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara has a suffix. What's the din of a chatzi Eved, a chatzi Ben Chorin, who is Mekadosh and Isha? Are the Kiddushin Tofsin or not? Eved Kenayni, who is Mekadosh, a Jewish Isha, is in Kiddushin Tofsin. So what if it's a chatzi Eved, a chatzi Ben Chorin? Would you say it is Kiddushin Tofsin and Kiddushin Tofsin? So it's a suffix in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, if ein kiddushin tofsin, then the vlad would not be misyaches acharav either. If the chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin lives with a Jewish woman and they have a child, so the child is Jewish because the mother was Jewish, the child is Jewish. Would the chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, is he related to the child or not? Is the child his son? Would the child be a yorish? If the chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin would acquire property, usually kol mashikon evikon a rabbi. But let's say it's a case where you don't apply kol mashikon evikon a rabbi. There are rare cases where the rule doesn't apply. Would the son yarshin him or not? So the Gemara says that it's totally zebizan this. If kiddushin atovsim between the chatzi eved and chatzi ben chorin and then the Israelis, then the vlad is misyaches achrov. If zain kiddushin tovsim, then the vlad is not misyaches achrov. So Tosfos asks, why should that, what's the logic? Why should it be told as Ebezeh? Let's say an Eishes Ish. Someone has an affair with an Eishes Ish. Ein Kiddushin Tofsin. If you want to give the girl a ring, say, Hari Emukadeshusli, she's already married to someone else. Or he's Boal Achoso. He Boal Achoso and Ein Kiddushin Tofsin. He couldn't be Mekadosh his own sister. And the Vlad will be Amamzer. But the Vlad will be Mesachas after he is the father of the child. He is biologically the father of the child. Halachically, he's the father of the child. So you see that just because Ein Kiddushin Tofsin doesn't necessarily follow that Vlad should not be Mesachas Tachem. So why did the Gemara assume over here? The Taisa says, no, that's Ein Kiddushin Tofsin because of Nisa Koris. They were talking different. If Avdus is Mafkiya Ishus, so the Chazal understood it's Mafkiya Yachas. So then you can't have a yachas of a kurva of father and a son either. So the son wouldn't yarshin either. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's the marker of gershin is got cotton shenol adam. Once you have psukim that there's no kiddushin tofsin between a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman, between a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman, so in kiddushin tofsin means that there's no yachas of kurva. No yachas of kurva. So if one of them converts, someone converts, if you had brothers, sisters, whatever, one person converts for 5 minutes, they're not related to each other because one is Jewish, one is not Jewish. Then you're going to say, the second one is going to convert, and now they're both Jewish. Yeah, but you can't become brother and sister at the age of 25. Either you're born brother and sister, you're not. So they were born brother and sister, then one of them converts at the age of 25. So for 5 minutes, he's not related to anybody else in the world. Then you're going to say, his sister converts 5 minutes later, and now they become brother and sister at the age of 25. There is no such thing. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that's the mocker for the institution of Gershon is God Kotten Shonol Adam. But usually people, when you ask the question, what's the mocker, the people would have suggested, this pasuk, mainly Ishgoyle Hashem Hashem Meila, but the Chazal said goes on Gezel Ger. So that's what the Chasam Sefer is not happy. He says it can't be that the Chazal understood that that's pshat in the pasuk. Because it's not mukhrach. You can say, amen, lishkol, that we're not aware of the fact that we don't know who the Yerush is. He said, you can't really prove it from this pasuk. Then you have the parsha of Soito. We spell Soito usually with a samach. The Yerushalmi always, and the Chum spells it with a sin. Shin and a sin, the same letter. So the word shoteh was also spelled shin tes hei, shoteh. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Eranim choytel and kenichnes abaruach shtus. Ish ish kisista ishtar. The woman becomes a soito because she's a shoito. She does a stupidity. If a person would be thinking, he would never sin. Whenever we do an avera, it's always a shtus. Nichnes abaruach shtus. Father, Zechan Baruch, told me that he remembered in Europe, he saw a little sefer written by the son-in-law of the Magen Avram. I don't know who it was, even. A whole sefer on this kasha. How is anyone held responsible for any avera that he does? He's temporarily insane. And the Gemara says, the halacha recognizes temporary insanity. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Itim chalim itim shayta. Person is sometimes in his right mind, sometimes in his right mind. So his manshu cholim. So if the halacha recognizes temporary insanity, and we declare that whoever does an avera is nichnas of ruach shtus, so why is anybody ever punished for any avera that they did? Should be considered a temporary insanity. So good pikasha. So I think we usually assume because he allowed himself, to become, let's say, person drinks and drinks and drinks, taka, what would be the name? Person drinks and drinks till he becomes a shikar and then he does an avera. So we hold him responsible, we don't hold him responsible. He knows that when he's shikar, he doesn't know how to control himself. I don't know. I think that would be temporarily shaita. Anyway, that's the kasha over here. The halacha says the opening mishnah in saita describes the only time you have a din of a saita come. There's a saita vadai and a saita sofi. So the sofi means the person is suspicious of his wife and he wants her, there's kinu yastira, he wants her altistri and mishplaini, he's choshed her biznus, she's having an affair with someone, and then later on she does stira, she's misyachedes with that person with whom he was choshed her. So then after kinu yastira, then he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash and you do the whole bedikas maim hamorim. The Torah promises a miracle of Doris. The water that she drinks is not poisonous. Doesn't taste so good. They mix in karka mishka, a little bit of sand. But a little bit of sand, it doesn't kill you. You're not kidding. There's no cause, no reason why she should die. Then the way she, if she's innocent, she'll choysa v'nikso v'nizra zora. If she wasn't able to have children before, now she'll be able to. And if she's guilty, she'll be a misa mishuna. It's not from poison. Her the blood vessels start to bulge and so on. The whole description of the death. So the whole thing is that Torah promises an es l'doros. Then you can rely on this nes. The husband is choshed, his wife is nus. So then you can rely on this birur. If nothing happens after she drinks the maim amarim, then we assume that she's muteris labailo. Yeah. So if she's a saita sofek, the husband doesn't know bevada, that zinsa. He just says choshed her, he was mekanela, he masra bo, he wonder al tistri mishplen, she had stira. Then there's an isa essay. Nitma means labayla. She's not allowed to live with the husband anymore. If you know bevadai that the woman had an affair, the husband knows bevadai the woman had an affair with someone else, then it's an isa lav. The Gemara has in the first perek in Yevamos daf yud alef and beg. The Gemara learns off in the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim when the Torah has the parsha of a get. It says if a couple is married and the husband divorces his wife. Then she remarried someone else. Then she got divorced from the second husband. The second husband died. She says, first husband is not allowed to remarry her. So the Gemara says, you read the pasuk as if there were a vav there. She married the second person. If she was mezana, a man divorces his wife and she's fooling around with other men, and then he is permitted to take her back. There's no isur of a kohen is not allowed to, but someone else is permitted to remarry his wife, even if she was mezana biznus after the first divorce and his second remarrying her. But if she married someone else, in between, then it's a lav amachzik grushasa. And achrei hashat amo is another lav. They're included in one pasuk. Achrei hashat amo means, if a man is married to his wife and she was mezana, then there's a lav la yuchel baila lekachta achri yashehu tamo. There's a lav, not allowed to be machzik grushosai, he's not allowed to live a loises, he's not allowed to live with a woman who's a soita asura al baila. Yeah, what does mean kina? Stira kina means that he warned his wife that he's choshed her, that she's being mizana with someone. That's the hasra. Then the stira, the Balatanya points out, I think in a tshuva, that stira is not identical with yichud. Let's say there are 50 people working in an office, men and women, so there's no isa yichud. There are people that hang around all day long. Then little by little, at 3:30, five people leave. Then at 4:30, another couple of people leave. Then at 6:30, other people leave. There's only left two people are left, an Eishes Ish, and another man. So there may or may not be an isa yichud. If it's Baal HaBayir, there's no isa yichud. If it's not Baal HaBayir, there is an isa yichud. Even if there is an isa yichud, so the Baal HaTanya says that's not called stir. Stir means shenichnesu biyachad l'mokam seisa. They went in together. If there were 50 people there in the whole office, all day long, one by one, they all leave till the end of the day. They're only the Eishes Ish with the other man. That's not called stira. That's called yichud. It's an isa yichud. Then on the other hand, sometimes you have, there's no isa yichud. There's no isa yichud between a father and his daughter, or between a brother and a sister. There's no isa yichud. So let's say the husband is choshed his wife that she's having an affair with her brother or with her father. So she can say, she can spit him in the face, say, you're crazy, and I'm not going to listen to you. There's no isa yichud between a mother, a father and a daughter, and a brother and a sister. But still, even though there's no isa yichud, but it's still called stira. If the husband was choshed her biznus, and she's going to be mistateris with the brother or the father, she'll become asur al bailam. That yichud and stira are not exactly the same. Not always the same.
Doesn't have to have separate place either. Think about the forest or someplace, right? In other words,
there'll also be stira. Okay. Taisus on the first daf and Nida points out. Let's say they go to the beach at the 3 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody else there. That's also called stira. If there's nobody there, it's not only if they're in a house, even if they're outside, but it's a location where nobody ever goes. That's also called stira.
And so I mentioned there's an asur, say if it's just the kina, but then what can you do? Because you can't yet do the sota test.
Has to bring it to the base. I mean, we welcome to Bizman Azeh. So Gemara says, you better not be Mekani Lishtucha Bizman Azeh, the first half in Saitan, the base on base. The Gemara recommends you should never be Mekani Lishtucha Bizman Azeh, because then if she'll do stira, there's no way to be mad to her.
But I mean, also, when is this Sarasai? After
Kina
and stira?
After Kina
stira,
yeah.
And then when is there
a lot? If you know Bavada, she's in so. Saita Vada and Saita Sofik. So this parsha is called Saita Sofik. The husband may be paranoid. Husband may be choshed the big share. Maybe there's nothing wrong at all. There was a student here in Yeshiva many years ago who was choshed his wife biznus. Why? Because one day he came in and he found a man's jacket. That was his friend's jacket. They used to live in the apartment, a whole bunch of single guys. Then he married this girl. One of her friends left the jacket there. It was a little Lulu bird. Everything was choshed in his wife. Yeah.
Maybe the
mashal
that we gave with the office, is there an issue on the third to last person to leave if that also has yichud memela?
There is an issue. Okay, you should tell the other people, I'm going to leave in 10 minutes. Figure out whatever you're going to do. You can't tell me. You can't paralyze him. He has to go home. People have a right to go home. He should warn him, I'm going to leave in 10 minutes. So figure out what you're going to do. You want to sin. So you're achrayes.
If somebody knows that, like, the sort of sota vada, but it didn't happen, so there's not this procedure. You just have to divorce her, but she's not gonna die or anything, right?
Right. That's why they try to encourage the woman who's a sota sofik. They say, tell us the truth. If you're zinsa, don't die. You're gonna drink the mai mamarim. You're gonna die. So tell us the truth. You'll lose the ksuba. You'll get divorced, and you'll live on, move on, and marry someone else. So they keep on asking, they keep on encouraging the woman. If you're really tahira, it's a drink. But if you're not tahira, we would recommend that you should admit it. Because they can't punish her based on her own admission. Yeah. There are two tshuvas in the Beis HaLevi about Hilcha Saita. So the whole two tshuvas, one after the other. The Beis HaLevi doesn't say who the tshuvas were written to. So Rav Soloveitchik said that it was written to Rabbi Yochai Meisels, who was the Rav in Lodz. They have in the back of the Vilna Shas, they have Chidushim here and there by Rabbi Yochai Meisels. He learned in the Valojan Yeshiva the same time as the Beis HaLevi. They were good friends. So he didn't like a certain rabbi. and he went to shul that morning, whatever, he went to Beis Medrash that day, he was away all day. He told his wife, if that rabbi comes, don't let him in the house, I can't stand him. So that rabbi came, and she led him into the house, and she gave him some coffee and cake, and then he left. Then when the husband came home, he realized, he told his wife, don't allow the rabbi to come in. The wife says that she was embarrassed to say, my husband doesn't want me to let you in the house. So she violated. So he had a shaila whether the woman is asura on the husband. The rabbi had a shaila. So he allowed to live with his wife. So he sent to the Beis Halevi. So the Beis Halevi, the last paragraph in the second tshuva, he says the whole issue is only relevant. It's only called stira. The husband is choshed his wife biznus. But not choshed the wife biznus, just can't stand this man. That's not called kinui at all. So the whole shaila doesn't apply. But the first tshuva in three quarters or four fifths, till you get to the last paragraph, he's discussing what we paskin in the opening mishnah in Soita, that the only time the husband can bring his wife to the Beis Hamikdash to have a drink from the Maimon Marim is if you have two edim on the kinui, two edim on the stira. So he wants to know, are the two edim lekiyam hadover or lebir hadover? If it's lekiyam hadover, so it doesn't help, the husband admits that he knows that he warned her, don't allow Pliny to come into the house, and it doesn't help that there were no edim on the stira. The wife admitted, the husband takes her word for it, that she's telling the truth. So it should be shavya nafshe chatichet yisura. But if you hold that the edim for the kinui and the edim for the stira alebira alekiyam hadover, then it doesn't help. So if there's no edus lekiyam hadover, so it's not chal. So he comes to the conclusion that the two edim who are needed for the kinui, that's lekiyam hadover. It's not called the kinui unless he warns her in the presence of two edim. To edim on the stira, that's like to edim on his nose. That's not lekiyam hadover, that's lebir hadover. And he has a Yerushalmi like this, and he has the yukim rise from the Gemara. It's a whole beautiful tshuva. But then in the very last paragraph, he just says the whole thing is irrelevant, because the whole shayla is nishkan shayla, because he was never choshed his wife's business. I remember someone showed Rav Soloveitchik a tshuva saridfo. I think it was first printed by Mosad Rav Kook from a manuscript, if I'm not mistaken. Tshuva Saritva, that this is special din and tefillin and mezuzah does not apply to a Sefer Torah, that the parshas have to be written kisidron, has to be written every letter in order. Shin, Mem, Ayin, Shema, Yisrael, Yud, Shin, Reish, Aleph, Lam, and so on. And if you find that there's a letter that is broken and you fix it, so the whole tefillin and mezuzah is bustle, because it has to be written kisidron. Every letter has to be written in order. So the Ritva in the Tshuva assumes a Chiddush Niflo, that not only does it apply to Sefer Torah, there is no such thing. You don't need Ksiva Ksidra. And then Megillah and Tefillin Mezuzah doesn't say in the Gemara, it says in the Mechilta, it says like that. But we assume that that's the Halacha, even though there's a Tosfos in Menachah, sounds not so. We assume that we follow that Mechilta. Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Mechilta, that tefillin and mezuzah have to be written kissing. So the Ritva has a chiddush. He says these dalal parshas shema v'ayoyin shema kadesh v'yokiv yachai and the sefer Torah have to be written kisidron. Why? But it's not a mezuzah. It's not a tefillin. It's a sefer Torah. Sefer Torah doesn't need kisidron. So someone asked this to Rav Soloveitchik. So he said it's probably based on the Gemara in Erevin in the first parak. The Gemara in Erevin quotes a machlokes satanaim. When you write a Megillah Soita, you have to write a Megillah Soita, you have to be Moichek. You have to be Moichek, whatever was written. V'hishbi HaKoyin Aso Yisho. Because of HaKoyin Aso Yisho, Basefer, he writes it. And then you erase it, you erase everything that was written into the water. So the Gemara says a Megillah Soita has to be written, V'ksab Shiyoch Alei Moichek. If you're going to write in indelible ink, there's no way to erase it. So the whole Megillah Soita is no good. So the Gemara says, can you write a Sefer Torah with kankantom? Are you allowed to write a Sefer Torah with indelible ink, that if you soak it in water, the ink is not going to come out, it'll remain there. A Rishuma will be nicker. The letters will still be there in the cloth. So the Gemara says, are you allowed to write this Parsha Soita in the Sefer Torah with indelible ink? So the Gemara says, there's a Machlokes. When you write a get, it has to be because of lo lishmo. Have to write the get lishmo. And if he has two wives that have the same name, Rachel Bas Elio, and he's going to decide which wife to divorce later, he doesn't know. He's going to decide. Can't afford both of them. He's cutting down on the business, cutting down on the marriage. He's going to get rid of one of the two wives. He didn't decide which one. So the Mishnah says it's no good. Because it's not considered lishmo. So what about by Megillah Sotah, the unique Siva Lishma by Megillah Sotah? So it's a machlokes HaTanaim. So one Tana holds you don't need Siva Lishma. So he holds you can even cut out from the Sefer Torah. Mochkinom in HaTorah. You're not allowed to, but theoretically if you would do it, it would be kosher. So the Gemara says, if you hold you don't need Lishma, Mochkinom in HaTorah, then that parsha in the Sefer Torah may not be written with indelible ink, even though no one plans to erase it. It's called Parsha Seita. This is how Rav Soloveitchik interpreted the Gemara. This is how he interpreted the Gemara. But if you hold, hey, machkin lo min ha-Torah, because you need ksiva l'shma, then the Parsha Seita and Parsha Snosa is not called Parsha Seita. It's only called Parsha Seita. It was written l'shem isha zu. So then you can write the whole Sefer Torah, including Parsha Seita, with indelible ink, with kankanto. So he said, the Ritva got it from that Gemara in Yuma, in the first perik in Erevin, Adaf Yud Gimel, of all places. The Ritva got it from the first perik in Erevin, Adaf Yud Gimel, that if you hold Moich Gelo Min HaTorah, then this Parsha is called Parsha Soita, and Parsha Soita has Pik Sapshi Yochel Eimachi. So the Ritva assumed, Huad Denami, Kadesh Vayokev Yach, Shema Vayayim Shema, is Parsha Yos HaTfilin. It's not just the din that Tfilin has to be written L'Shema. Parsha that has to be written Kisidran. Parshios HaTfilin have to be written Kisidra. So the Dalit Parshios, wherever they appear in the Chumash, the rest of the Sefer Torah does not have to have Ksiva Kisidran. But this Parsha in the Sefer Torah has to have Ksiva Kisidran. That's quite a... The Ritva himself doesn't explain it. It just says at the Poshet that you need Kisidran for the Dalit Parshios where they appear in Chumash, even though it's a Sefer Torah. Even though it's not Tfilin and it's not Mezuzah. So Rav Soloveitchik said he got it from this Gemara. We have a din that's negeh halacha lemaisa by us, not so negeh, but not there. That sofik tuma b'shus hayochet sveik atame, and sofik tuma b'shus rabba sveik atohar. You have three different areas of halacha. You have isa v'heter, and mominis, and tuma v'tara. That's how they quote from the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Aliyo ala Torah. It says, ki ipon mincha dov ala mishpat bein dam ledam bein din ledin. We go ask if there's Nagorl, whatever they pass in his binding. So they quote the Talmidim of the Gro, quote the name of the Gro, can't kill the Hatura, call Gimel Chelke Hatura. Bein Dam the Dam is Ben Isa Veheter, whether the woman is in need of the Baila or not. Bein Dam the Dam, Bein Din the Din is Dinimam, and it's Bein Nega and Nega is Tumah Vitar. There are three different areas of Halacha, Isa Veheter, Dinimam, and Tumah Vitar. So each one has a different Klal, Psak, the makam sofik. If it's a sofik iser, so sveka deraisa luchum and sveka lukula. If sofik mamayna, lukula, the muksa keeps it, whoever the muksa gets, amoitsi machabel of arai. And if it's a sofik tumah, then the klal, very often, not always, the klal will usually be that sofik tumah b'shu sayachet sveka tome, and sofik tumah b'shu sarab and sveka tar. Where did they establish this idea from? Where did they get a difference between b'shu sayach and b'shu sarab? So it's based on the Parsha Soita. Soita has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tara. Soita is an Eshes Ish, a Zinsa. But still, Rab Chaim Oizer writes in the Tshuvas, the Chumash uses the verb V'Nitmo'o. It says three times, V'Nitmo, V'Nitmo, V'Nitmo. Echel Abal, Echel Abal, Echel Truma. Why do they use the verb V'Nitmo? What does it have to do with Tumah? An Eshes Ish, a Zinsa, has to do with Tumah. There's a tumah, balkarius tami, a paletu shechvazer tami. That's what it means, vinitmo. So the Chumash uses the verb vinitmo, so the Avnei Nezer explains. Avnei Nezer quotes from the Kuzari. The king had this recurrent dream that God recognizes that his kavanos chavitzui abba masecha ainu mitzui. You're worshipping the wrong religion, you have religious. Thoughts, but you're worshipping the wrong religion. So he went to investigate the other religions. At first he wasn't even going to invite a rabbi, he was just going to have a representative of Islam and Christianity because the Jewish religion was so downtrodden, so looked down upon. But then when they were explaining that all the other religions are based offshoots from the Jewish religion, so he invited a rabbi, then he fell in love with the Jewish religion, and then he converted. And then he got the government to convert, then he got all the people to convert, and he and they were ruling. The Melech HaKuzarim was ruling a section of Russia for many years. This is history. Under the communists, they didn't allow this to be public knowledge. But after the communism collapsed, they allowed research. A couple of years ago, about 5-6 years ago, so they had in the New York Times, they had a whole study about the city, which was the capital of the Khuzari area. A big chunk of Russia was ruled by Jewish people, by the Khuzarim. And they used to have correspondence with the rabbis in Cordova. All the big rabbanim lived in Spain, so they used to send them rabbanim once in a while. They used to correspond with them. The details of the Sefer HaKuzari, we assume it's a historical novel. Probably a historical novel, but the basic part of the story is true. The Melech Khuzarim did convert. So the Rabbi Yudah Levi writes in this probably novel, historical novel, that the Melech HaKuzarim, it's questions and answers that he's asking. But if you people say you follow everything in the Bible, so how come you don't go to mikveh all the time? A man becomes a bakeri, goes to mikveh the next day. You touch a dead sheretz, you go to mikveh the next day. You don't observe everything that it says in the Chumash. How come you don't bring all these karbanos? So he says, no, we can't bring karbanos if you don't have a beis hamikdash. Then he says, how come you don't go to mikveh every month in Gedanish? Everyone should go to mikveh. He says, going to mikveh is because tumah is tied to the sasri with kedusha. If you want to eat truma, you want to eat kachim kalim, you want to eat maizu sheni, you want to be makar of karbanos, you want to enter the beis hamikdash, you want to enter ayaras hamakavas chayim, you want to enter Yerushalayim. He says, we live so far away from Yerushalayim, beis hamikdash, we don't have karbanos, we don't have maizu sheni, we don't have truma, so the whole thing is irrelevant. Tumah is attached to the sasri with kedusha. That's what the Khuzari says. So the Avnei Nezer interprets a Gemara in the first parak in Sota based on that. It says v'nitma'o. What kind of a lashon is v'nitma? So he says, you see, that when a man gets married, we say haret mekudeshesli. The Gemara calls that lishna derabbanan. The expression that he uses was coined by the rabbis on the level of the raisa that there is no such word haret mekudeshes. He say haret ishtei, haret arisase, haret nisuase, haret ezrasi, negdasi, tzalasi. So you say, Hariat Negdosa, Hariat Salos, Rikachzela, Rikachachas Mitzaloisov. That would be in biblical language. And this is a rabbinic expression, Hariat Mekudeshesli. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has in the first parak in Kiddushin, in the Gil Yoni Hashas, and the Abdeneza has. It's a Lishna de Rabbanon, but the concept is a concept that appears in Halacha on the level of the Raisa. When there's a marriage, there's some element of Kedusha that's injected over there. And when the woman becomes a Saita, Asura Labaila, the Chumash uses the verb Vinitmo, because Tuma and Kedusha are attached to the Sasri, like the Khuzari said. It makes a Pagam in the Kedusha in the marriage. He explains the Gemara in Saita Davav that there's a difference. Let's say a man marries a Mamzeris, so the Kedusha Natovsin. But she's Asura Lov. A Kohen marries a Grusha. A Kohen girl marries an Almana. Whatever, someone marries a Mitzri Dorsheni, the Mitzri Dorishan Dorsheni. So it's an Issa. The marriage is Ishus. Marriages are full Ishus, but they have to get divorced. They're not allowed to live together. A man is living with a Saito. The Ishus is incomplete. Because it says, V'nitma is Pogim in the Kedusha. It's a tie to the Sasim with Kedusha. So that's a Gemara in the first parak in Sota Dabav. There's no other way to read the Gemara. That's Muchach in the Gemara. So Avnei Nezer explains it based on the Khuzari. Anyway, but the Gemara Rab Chaim Moizer has in his Tshuvas, the Gemara assumes that v'nitmo, the reason why such a verb was used, is to imply to us that there's something here that's relevant to Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara also. What is that? That misafik yu'asa the woman labailo. The Pashtus is there isn't even a sofik. A woman is married for the last 10 years, she's becheskeset lebailo. Then there's a sofik, was she zinsa, was she loizinsa? She shtel of techeskeset lebailo, she was loizinsa. She should remain muteris lebailo. So here there's a gzeris hakosev that I can, despite the fact that she has a cheskeset lebailo, I say, since she did stira, there were only two people in the room, the boil, the suspected boil, and the isha. If you would have had three people, there wouldn't have been any stira. He only had two people, the boil with the isha, so that's called the Rishus HaYachid. So Sofik Tumah Bishus HaYachid, Sveika Tumah is derived from here. This is not a Sofik Tumah, this is a Sofik Issa Labailo. But because the Torah uses the verb Vinitma, so it's alluding, it's teaching us, it's Meramis to that din, that if it would have been a totally different Sofik, there's not a Sofik Tumah, but it would have been a Sofik Tumah, similar to this detail case, that Bishus HaYachid would have been L'chumr B'Torah Svadai. If it would have been Mishul Sarabim, then it would have been Lekulam. Where did they get such an Einfah that in Tumah V'Tara there's a difference between Mishul Sayochid and Mishul Sarabim? Where should they get such an idea from? So the Tosefta has two different opinions in Tanoim. So one Tana says, you learn it out from the fact that Tumah is Mutah B'Tzibur, and a Korban Tzibur as opposed to a Korban Yochid. The Tumah is Mutah B'Tzibur, but it's not Mutah B'Korban Yochid. So you see that Tzibur and Yochid are not the same when it comes to Tumah. So when they learned that from this pasuk, that it says V'nitmo, not only is the suffix Saita Asur al-Bailah, the suffix Saita, all right, so it's a Sori, so she's Shtelav Cheskas Heta al-Bailah, she's B'Cheskas Heta, and she denies doing anything wrong. So the Torah says, you don't Shtelav Cheskas Heta, you consider it a suffix. And it says V'nitmo, so you can't extend it to Rishus HaRabim also, because we know that Yochid and Rabbah are not the same when it comes to Tumah. That's a big Kiddush. The whole Yafus is a fantastic Kiddush. But that's what the Gemara learns out. They learn out from Saito, this word, that Sofik to Mishus HaYochid Svei Katami, Mishus HaRabim Svei Katar. And what's the definition of Rishus HaRabim? So Rishus HaRabim is if you have three people there. The Gemara has... That's the Gemara in the first daf in Perek Shnei Nezirim. Then there's the Gemara in Bava Basra in Cheskes Abatim, towards the second half of Cheskes Abatim, and the Gemara says, whatever is of Shus Haram B'Shabbos purposes, Tezayin Amawai, then cuts through the whole city. So whatever is of Shus Haram B'Shabbos purposes is of Shus Haram for the purpose of declaring Sofik Tumah B'Shus Haram and Sveika Tor. Yeah, but this Gemara in Nazir says the definition of Shus Haram is inside the Beis HaMikdosh. There were walls around the Beis HaMikdash. It's a Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos purposes. But if you have three people standing near each other, then it's also Rishus HaRabim. So you always go Lekula. If it's a Rishus HaRabim for Shabbos purposes, it's Sveika Tor. And if it's a Rishus HaRabim, even if it's a Rishus HaYochid Mamish for Shabbos purposes, the three people there, that's also called the Rishus HaRabim. Either A or B, the two forms of Rishus HaRabim. So the Sofik term of Rishus HaRabim is Sveika Tor. It's a big Kiddush. The whole thing is a big Kiddush. Sofik Daraisa Luchomer shouldn't have applied here because you have a Cheskes Heter. The woman is Muteris Labaila for the last 10 years. They were happily married. Or not happily married, whatever it is. But she was Muteris Labaila. So you really should have, you really should shtel off Chazoka. So that's a Xeris Akosa that you don't. You don't shtel off Chazoka. Even if it's not a Sofik HaShokol. I don't think so. No, then you go Basarayiv.
Even if they
I think so. Whenever you have a Raiv, so then it's not called a Sofik Tumah. There should be a Gemara at the end of the first parak in Ksubas, Daf Tezvav. I don't know whether I touched a dead sheretz or a dead different animal. There are Nishmon Shvatzim, Amurim Batara. So if it's not, the odds are 9 to 1, so the Gemara says you go Basar. If you had 10 things, and one is Achbar, is one of the Shemana Shvatzim, the other 9 are Tzadeya, and I touch one of the 10, so the Gemara says you go Basar, he's not Tami. Only if it's a Sofik HaShokol, then it's called the Sofik Tuna. Bishu Sa Yochid, Bishu Sa Yochid. We always follow Raiv, yeah.
And by Tuma, why don't we say Sofik HaShokol?
Yeah, you know, that's the Xeris HaKosov. The Sofik Tumah B'Shul Sarabim is Tor Vadai. Sofik Tumah B'Shul Sarabim is Tomei Vadai. It's not Tomei Sofik Deraiz HaLuchom, it's Tomei Vadai. Everything is different. Everything is different. B'Shul Sarabim is different, B'Shul Sarabim is different. Everything is different. Here it's Vadai Tomei, here it's Vadai Tor. Those are the three areas of Halacha. That Dinim Amanis is one area, and Issa B'Het is another area. Tumah V'Tahor is the third area. There is Machlokes HaRishonim whether you apply the rules of Sofik Tumah B'Shus Eich B'Shus HaRabim to Tumah HaYotzah LeMigufay. That's 2 days in Taisus on the first daf in Nida. One day is that it only applies to Tumas Mago, when I'm coming in contact with some Tumah Michutz LeGufi. But if I have a Sofik, when I became Yoledes, or I became a Zabazova, whatever, so then you apply the regular clues of Sofik the Raisa LeChumra and Svek Sveka LeKula. And the other day in Taisus is no, that even Tumah Yotzah LeMegufo is also governed. Also governed with the rules of Safek Tumah B'Shul Seirach B'Shul Seirach. The one case that's for sure not governed is Metzora. That's a Beferish and Mishnah. The Metzora, for sure you don't say Safek Tumah B'Shul Seirach versus B'Shul Seirach. So in the Sefer Mein Avtoyach is a commentary on the Rambam's Hakdome to the Seder Taris. The Rambam wrote it Pirush HaMishnayos. So it has a Hakdome before Brachas to all of Shishi Sidri Mishnah. That's really a Hakdome to the Torah Shabbat Peh. Then before Kachim, he has a Hakdome to the Seder Kachim. He includes all the Karbonis there. One of the Maskilim made a comment, if the only thing we had from the Rambam would be the Hakdome to Seder Kachim, we would have known that he was the Godel Ador in his generation. But better than the Hakdome to Seder Kachim is the Hakdome to Seder Taris. It's out of this world. So it's so compact. So this great Goyen who lived over 150 years ago wrote a whole sefer called Mein Avtoyach. Commentary on the Rambam. The text of the sefer on the top of the page is from the Rambam's Hakdome to Seder Taris. On the bottom of the page he has his Marmekoimus and his discussions. So he points out that this L'choladeis, everybody agrees that a Metzora, for sure you don't say Safik Tumah B'Shul Seirach versus B'Shul Seirach. And he explains why. Because Taras, it doesn't become Tami automatically. The person who's Tami, the Bais HaMenuga, the Beged, it only becomes Tami when the Kohen declares that he's Tami. So the only time we call it a Safik Tumah is if the Tut Study has Safik Ar, is it Tami Atahar? Here the Tut Study has Safik Ar, is it Tahar with a mitzvah to declare it as Tami? As a Torah without a mitzvah to declare it as Tami. But the Tutzlai HaSafik and not, is it Tami, is it Torah? So he says, maybe that's the Hezbe, he says, but that for sure he has Rais. That's clear from Mishnais and Nazir, that the Kloli HaPsak of Safik Tami Shusaram don't apply to Mitzvah. The very next parsha after Soita is the parsha of Nazir, and the Gemara in the Mishnais, it's like that. Nazir and Soita, one next to the other. The Gemara says the reason why Rabbi Yudan Nasi did it, because that's the way it is in the Chumash. The reason why it's like that in the Chumash is, Haroya Soita Bikil Kuli Yazir Atzimim and Ayayin. The Rambam has in Hilchas Deis this whole elaborate description of the Shvil Hazov. You should go in the middle of the road, shouldn't be an extremist. Unless you live in a generation with its preaches in a certain area, so then you should go to extreme, till or if you or yourself have a kilkul in a certain midah, so then you go to the other extreme till things straighten out, then you go back to the Shvil Azov. So Shadal was a Jewish philosopher who lived in Italy. So he had a taina against the Rambam. Why did the Rama quote so much from the Greek philosophers, but the Shvil Azov, Aristotle? So the Maritz Chai says a whole essay. He says some of the terminology that the Rama wrote, he got from Aristotle over here. But this is, he's quoting the Gemara. The Gemara says that usually we assume a Nazir is a Choyte because he's becoming an extremist. Normally you should go B'derech HaMemutza, but Haroi Sota B'Kelkuli, Azar Atzimim and Ayay. If the Doris Paritz in Arayis, then the Torah recommends you should go to an extreme. You shouldn't go b'shvil hazov. So he says, basically, the Rambam is just elaborating on this Gemara, on the first daf in Soita. The Nazir is mekabel ned and naziris. Lindo ned the Nazir lahazel Hashem. Pashtus is, when the Naziris is open, then the Torah imposes a chiv has to bring korbanos. So the Gemara understands it's not so. That implicit in the neder ha-Naziris is that he's accepting upon himself that he's going to bring the korbanos. It's not explicit, but it's implicit. So we have halachas based on this assumption. That we treat the korbanos that the Nazir is obligated to bring as if it's neder and adovah, as if when he accepted the Naziris, as if that was included And then that the Hanazir said he's going to be in the Karbonis at the end. Maybe I'll stop here because I have trouble with my throat. Okay, good. Have a good Shabbos.